on chapter 10 today in Jeff Holt's book. And, you know, every day I go forward with this. Let me put on mute because I got some talking in the background. And I hope you guys really clean up the mute when Bob sent it. Hello? Star 6 is to mute. So if you got background noise, please mute. Especially with our guest speaker today, it's going to be critical that we star 6. Okay, I'm going to put everybody on mute. Is everybody on mute? Can I hear people? Hello? I could still
hear people. Don't speak too fast, okay?
Okay, let's jump in. Chapter 10 we're talking about, and Chapter 10 is entitled Turning Your Dream Into Reality. That's the chapter we're talking about today. And, of course, all of us would like to turn our dreams into reality, and we've probably been to a lot of different self-development materials or seen materials and books published out there on how to make your dreams come true and directions to go in your life. If how-tos were enough, we'd all have accomplished our dreams, because we've taken a lot of how-to classes and read a lot of how-to books, how to make your dreams become your reality, but it's not working. So Jeff jumps into this chapter, of course, looking at that's what everybody's goal is to make their intent in their lives become reality. And I like his first quote he gives is, whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And I actually have that quote in my Pathway to Presidential materials that I give to everybody when they take that class. Because so true is that statement. It basically is saying, whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. It's about taking action. Too many people sit around and take no action. So how critical is it to take action? But as Jeff goes through this, he talks about four fundamental principles, or four simple and fundamental steps to take in making your dreams come true. And it's really critical that you look at this, and it really has to do around goal setting and setting goals to create the dream coming true. So once you have a dream in your mind, you start setting goals around that, and how do you get those goals to actually come to reality? And a lot of us have done goal setting in our lives, but then, as you well know, the last month in December, I always teach goal setting from start to finish for 3 to 4 weeks, because I think it's so crucial to get a game plan and a direction for what your next year is going to look like. So a critical time always is at the end of the year to set goals for the following year, but you can always, you know, goals are set to be tweaked and to be fine-tuned and to be redirected. So it's important that you keep a vision of those goals throughout the entire year and keep track of how you're doing with respect to them. The first fundamental step in making your dreams come true is to write them down. Write them down, be very specific about them, and give them deadlines. Because the concept that he's getting at with writing them down, for all of you who have been negligent in doing this, is really the skill of envisionment and envisioning. It's creating a picture your mind and making it so clear that it actually becomes real. And I can tell you, through a lot of exercises and different self-development courses I've gone, I've seen people talk about goal setting and having a dream. And a lot of times they'll say, what's the dream? And somebody will say, I have a dream. I'd like to have a car. I would like to have a Jaguar. And they ask, well, what does it look like? And they ask the color. And they ask what kind of wheels it has. And then they say, what's the inside? And, oh, the inside is leather. And the person conducting these seminars, the facilitator will go so far as to have the person envision himself. Now, look at the car. You can see the car. Visualize it. Now, I want you to grab the handle, open it up, and I want you to sit in the front seat. And I want you to take a deep breath and smell the fumes from that incredible fresh leather, the leather smell. And do you see what the person's doing? The facilitator in the self-development class, what they're doing is they're taking your dream or the goal that you have, and they're making you draw such a clarity around the picture and envisioning it that you're actually not only sensory, not only are you seeing it in your subconscious, picturing it in your subconscious, in your brain, just picturing the color, what it looks like, what the tires look like, but now he actually gets you to smell it. So you actually pick up on another sensory perception of it. And the more you can envision it and draw it closer to its reality, that's the closer it becomes to being your reality. So in visualizing is so absolutely crucial. So writing it down and visualizing it are both critical steps in the process. One without the other doesn't work. So but the purpose of writing it down, the purpose why he puts as a fundamental step is writing it down, is because in writing it down, you get very specific and you get deadlines around it, and it becomes something that then can be envisioned. You can't envision a meandering generality. So for those of you setting goals and say, I want to be wealthy or I want to make a lot of money, that's impossible to envision because it's a generality. It's not specific enough. It doesn't have a color to it. It doesn't have a quantity to it. It doesn't have a deadline to it. It's not specific enough. So it's about getting it written, writing, and getting very specific with it so that it can become something that you can envision. He also suggests in his book that speaking it out loud is most powerful. So again, you see the thought process of developing it, writing it down, then envisioning it. So now you have written, you have it in your eyesight, you've envisioned it. I talked earlier about smelling the leather, actually getting another sensory to it, and then hearing it by speaking it. That you're feeding it back into your own brain by speaking it. So speaking your goals, talking them out after you get them clarified, specific deadlines, and then speaking them, he feels that the speaking part of it is the most powerful. It's just, again, adding it back and feeding. What is he feeding on? He's feeding on your senses. He's allowing every sense in your body to pick up. You know, your nose, your eyes, your smell, your eyes, your talking, your hearing. He's picking it up, and then he even tells you to feel. Open, grab a hold of the handle of that Jaguar and open the front door. So he's got all the senses working. So you can see how powerful that is to help taking that first step to realizing your dream. So, you know, when we look at Manatech, what do we talk about in terms of Manatech? We go into setting goals. In fact, my whole group in Pathway to Presidential right now is working on setting their goals. And when I teach people to set goals, I always tell them to make them SMART: specific, measurable, attainable, risky, and timely. So there's all those elements to them to really, really get very clear. The whole purpose for all five of those things is for accountability and clarity. If you don't have accountability, you're not going to get anywhere. In other words, you need a deadline, and you need to have it specific or measurable so that there can be some accountability to it. You know, you want to make sure that happens. And you want to have clarity to it so it's so crystal clear for you so you know what direction you're going in. No clarity, no direction. In fact, that's what we tell people. If you don't have a goal and you don't set a goal for something, you have no direction that you're going. And I love that statement. People say, well, you know, whatever you've set for yourself, that's where you're going to get. So if you don't set a goal or direction anywhere, you're not going to get anywhere. Because you're going to get exactly where you set you're going to go. So nowhere means you're going to get nowhere. So be very specific. And the exercise he puts forth in the book around this is he says, start with five dreams of yours, five. And then start asking the question, what and when, for each one. So what becomes getting more specific about the details of that dream, and the when becomes the timeliness of it. When is it going to happen? Is it going to happen by next year, by the year after, by 2010? When is it going to, what's your deadline around it? And make a deadline for it. But set goals. Set very clear, very specific goals. And then write them down, visualize them, and anything you can to get the senses, all of your senses, you know, engaged around the goals that you're setting. And then the other thing we do in Manatech a lot is dream boards. And again, that's taking on another sense. You know, if you write down your goals and then you make a dream board, now you got the visual to it. So it really forces the visualization because now you're cutting out pictures and you're plastering them on a poster board so you have a dream board. I have never gone a day in my life in Manatech business since my Upline Presidential trained me on this back in 99, maybe? 1999 is when I was trained about dream board and the power of dream boards. And today, if you came in my office, my dream board is up on my corkboard. And I've always had a dream board, always. And have I changed it? Of course, because as you achieve things, you can cut them off and you can add new things. And as you see that you have new goals in your life or new directions, you can put new things on the dream board or make a new one. But everybody should live with a dream board in their life. It's in my office, posted on my poster board, on my cork board, and it will, you know, I will never go a day without one because I understand the law here of how this works. It's a law of nature. It happens. As a man thinketh, so is he. It's a biblical scripture, and it's also, you know, common sense. It's also part of the teaching. It's about putting in our head, what is our mind focusing on? What is our focal point? A dream board helps you focus on what you want and get clarity and get specific. All right, step two. So that's step one. Write your dreams down. Be specific. Give them deadlines. And then apply all your senses to it. Make sure you're feeling it, seeing it, smelling it, touching it, all of that around it. Number two is take a look at it every single day. And this is an interesting thing because we talk about positive affirmations and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, taking a look at your dreams every day is what a dream board gives you. But the reason why we do this every day, the reason is it's the same reason why you surround yourself with positive people. If you want to fly with the eagles, you don't surround yourself with turkeys. I love that statement, okay? You don't giggle with the turkeys. You fly with the eagles, don't giggle with the turkeys. And the reason being that you want to counteract the law of gravity, a.k.a. the force of mediocrity. We all are bombarded every day of our lives through our little voices that talk to us, through who we are, to stay mediocre. You can get stuck in mediocrity. Some of us have been stuck in mediocrity for 30, 40 years of our life. And we get stuck in it because it's okay. We've grown to say, hey, I will, you know, I'd love to have steak, but I'll, you know, I'll take the bones. Well, sorry, don't settle in your life. Don't settle for anything but the greatness of what you can create and the greatness of you. So quit settling. And that's the law of gravity. That's the force of mediocrity that's allowing you to settle for mediocrity. Throw it out the window. If nothing else, open your front door as soon as you get off this call today and scream at your top of your lungs, I'm no longer settling for mediocrity. I'm no longer settling for anything but the best. If you take that approach to life, you'll create incredible things. But for you, settling is okay for some reason. Instead of fulfilling the abundance and the greatness that is in this life, the God-given purpose you have. So it's settling for mediocrity. So that's why we need to take a look at our dreams every day. Take a look at that purpose. Take a look at that dream and take action around it. Counteract that law of gravity. Yeah? And keep reinforcing to yourself. Your dreams are real. Your dreams are real. Your dreams are real. Say it over and over again. Too many of you go, oh, I'm not going to do it, I don't believe in it, it didn't work for me before. You know, get out of living from probability and start living from possibility. Quit convincing yourself and allowing that subconscious to take that control of you. So, and Gertha says, and this is another one that comes, you know, that's what I said at the beginning, I guess, that first thing, whatever you can do or dream, you can begin it. That's what our quote that we used at the beginning of this chapter, same thing. It's the power of your subconscious, and you can't deny it. It is there. It is unbelievably powerful. So work with it and allow it to show, exert its power that it has in your life. Otherwise, you'll come up short. And if you want to come up short, that's your choice, too. It's all about choice. And some of the neat things I'll just share with you guys that I had an incredible experience on Sunday, yesterday. Some of you know that T.D. Jakes has his church here. The Potter House is here in Dallas. And Lydia moved here 3 years ago, and she's been wanting to go to his church for years. She's always wanted to, you know, and I kept saying, hey, go, why don't you go this Sunday? Well, this Sunday my husband wasn't in town, so I went to our church at the 8 o'clock service, but T.D. Jakes had a later service at 11:30. So what we did is after we get done with church and choir at my church, Lydia and I jumped in the car and drove over to Potter's house. And we got to sit through a service with T.D. Jakes. And I want to tell you, there's one powerful guy. What an incredible statement he made about living in mediocrity and allowing our dreams to be masked He actually even had a skit with Mimas. Four Mimas were on the stage with him in his service. And these Mimas would get up throughout when he was talking about how we've allowed our dreams to just be, you know, turned back, and we've denied them. They've always been with us. They're with us from day one. They come with us. They're inherently within us. And we allow them to die. We mask them, we burn them, we dry them up, we discard them, we ignore them, and all they are is a power within us to create something incredible that we keep holding back. And it's just an incredible presentation that he did in terms of how we just keep squashing it in different ways. We mistreat it, we abuse it, we, you know, don't handle it, and it was a very, very powerful presentation. And it, when I was preparing this outline, of course, all of it came back to me that's exactly what T.D. Jakes was teaching today. In a way, you can look at it that way. And in fact, T.D. Jakes, not that I'm promoting him per se, but he's got a new book coming out called Repositioning Yourself, and it really is about fighting this whole concept, this law of gravity, or this force of mediocrity in your life. Quit accepting, quit settling for less. Today's the first day of the rest of your life, and quit settling for less. So, anyway, the third thing that he brought up is the third, again, we have four simple and fundamental steps you need to take for your dreams to turn into reality. The third step is to know and pay the price. And, of course, this is usually where everybody goes, oh, yeah, I knew that it would cost me something, you know, what's it going to cost me to achieve that, what's it... You know, everybody gets into the negative, the downside. What's it going to cost me? What do I have to give up? Da, 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 da. And Jeff put it so well when he in parts of this chapter when he talked about that you do not buy your million-dollar house with a $1 million check. How do you buy a $1 million house? You buy it one penny a day. The person who buys a $1 million house didn't buy it with a $1 million check. They bought it one penny a day. You just have to figure out what the penny is. In other words, what are you giving up today? What are you going to willing to forfeit today, short term, for a long-term benefit? Giving up something, whether it's a pleasure or it's your comfort zone or it's, you know, whatever that might be, in the short term, in the pursuit of a longer-term goal. So what are you willing to give up? And you can look at your life, and this is very much the whole slight edge, what it's about. It's about changing habits, changing some of the bad habits that don't serve you, that aren't moving you forward, and replacing them with better habits. Now, is that going to be painful for some of you? Absolutely, it's painful for all of us. I did in my training up in Minnesota, I said, what do you have to change? How many people have ever tried to lose weight? And it was like 75% of the room. And I said, what would you do if I asked you the three most important things you need to do to lose weight? What would you tell me? And they outlined it for me. They said, you know, number one, make better choices around what I eat. Right, and that's a huge one. Number two is exercise. Well, that's another big one. We all know that. And number three would be just eating smaller portions. In other words, reducing the calorie that we consume. So better choices, exercise, and reducing calorie consumption. Now, everybody in the room agreed. I said, okay, how many in the room agree that if you did these three things day in and day out, that you would lose weight? And there wasn't a person in the entire room that didn't agree. So what's the next question? Why aren't you doing it? Easy to do, easy not to do. It's a price that you have to be willing to pay. Easy to do. Is it easy to do? I have a 20-minute exercise routine every day? Absolutely. It is easy to do. It might cause a little pain for you, but pick out an exercise that's not quite so painful. It's not about going to Gold's Gym and pumping weights for 20 minutes every day. That's not what we're saying here. Ride a bike 20 minutes a day. Is it easy to do? Absolutely. Easy not to do? That's why you're not doing it. Eating the right foods. You walk out and you say, hey, choice can be made. Do I swing by McDonald's and grab a Big Mac, fries, and a chocolate shake for about, if you upsize it, it's about 2,000 calories or 1,800 calories. That's more than Mary Jo eats an entire day with 3 to 4 meals a day. That's more calories. Order you get a salad. Hold the dressing. Easy to do, easy not to do. Know the price. Know and pay the price. Why do I pay the price? I pay the price because I know the benefit. We even talked about long-term benefits. I do resistance training every single week of my life. That's weights, breaking down muscle tissue to rebuild muscle tissue. I do it every week of my life. And I can tell you, it's not because I'm going to be any different next week or next month or next year or in 2 years. I'm 52 today, and if I do weights every single week, a couple times a week, when I'm 82, it's going to make a gigantic difference in my balance, in my biological age, in my health, because I know through all the research that's ever been done on aging that lean to fat tissue is a gigantic factor. It affects almost every biomarker of aging there is. It affects our blood glucose level. It affects our cardiovascular, our ability to control our temperature. It impacts every one of those biomarkers. Is that lean, and it's a biomarker in itself, lean to fat tissue ratio. So I do it every day because I'm thinking about when I'm 82, not what happens next week. So it's knowing a price that I'm paying the price until what happens is after you pay the price long enough, you know what? It's no longer a price. My price of doing resistance training, I've been doing it for 3 years now, is there is no price. I want to do it. It becomes a joy in my life. It becomes an absolute excitement for me to be involved in doing it. There's no pain associated with it. I mean, it could be painful physically, but I love doing it. It's just part of who I am. It became part of who I am as a person. So you make those choices. You pay the price because you know the benefit is long-term benefit, and that's what all of us need to do. Manatech works the same way. We pay the price. We go out. We step out. We go to the grocery store. We go share with people. We follow up with people. Why? Some of that is uncomfortable for us to do, but we pay the price, and we do it day in, and we do it day out, and we do it day in, and we do it day out. And why do we do it? Is it because we're going to be presidential next month? No. Is it because we're going to be presidential in a year? No. It's because we know that that behavioral pattern that we set in place, in motion, creates momentum, creates activity, creates incredible results in success compounded over time. But no, we start and we stop, and one day we do it, and 1 week we do it, and we're turned on for two, and then all of a sudden we stop for a week or two, and maybe we jump back into it again, or maybe we take a sabbatical from Manatech, and then we come back in again, and we play these games in our lives that are so costly because it's a huge price that you pay. Whatever price you're paying, there's a bigger price for not doing it than there is for doing it. Another way to say it is the price of neglect is much worse than the price of discipline. It may take a few years to get your success on track, but it takes your entire life to fail. That was a huge statement for me out of the book. It may take a few years to get your success on track, but it takes your entire life to fail. Think about that. And the fourth point he makes in terms of making your dreams come true is start with a plan. And the most important aspect of what he put in this part of the chapter was a plan. You'll draft a plan and tweak it, and you'll work on it for 6 months because you want it to be perfect. He says, forget about perfect, because the plan you draft is not the plan that's going to get you to the eventual result. The plan you draft today is the plan that's going to get you started, and that's what you're trying to do. You want a starting game plan. It's not the one that gets you there. It's the one to get you started. Get it real clearly. Don't be perfect about it. It's kind of like getting a penny. You got to put the first penny in to get it to start compounding. But it may change over time. It doesn't have to be the same thing. It doesn't have to be the same plan, but you have to start it. You got to jump start it. You got to kick it off. So you got to start with a plan. And then with Kaizen, we talked about earlier the Oriental theory, philosophy of every day you make it a little bit better, that plan can change. You're going to mold it and make it better based on what? Based on situations and that reasoning and the logic and the knowledge that you grow from changes that happen in your life. You're going to grow and learn, and you're going to apply that learning to amend the plan and make it a better plan. And he talked about how incredible it was, his story. He built the largest German organization throughout Europe that he feels ever in network marketing. And he said, here was my plan. My plan was to attend this fair and have a booth where I would hand things out. That was his plan in network marketing here in the United States. He was going to have a booth at a fair and hand things out at the fair. And he was brought 200 packs. And he got there and he had 200 packs and he was sitting next to other booths. And you know what? No one wanted to hear anything from him. Nothing. Nothing. So he just watched everybody else being effective. So his plan was failing from day one. And by the middle of the afternoon, he's looking around. He's going, well, maybe I'll try something different. So he started stepping out and he started saying, okay, how would you like some propaganda? And people started laughing. He asked them right up front, that was his new approach, how would you like some propaganda? And so he started talking to a couple of people, and he found a doctor. And the doctor said he might have some interest in it, and he looked at it. And then he started having phone calls back and forth with his doctor. It was his main lead he got from the fair. And in the meantime, the company announced they were going to open Germany. So he said to the doctor, he said, hey, doc, by the way, do you know anyone who's from Germany? And the doctor said, no, no one I can think about. Well, like a week later, the doctor, his next-door neighbor, came to mind, and he says, oh, he's from Germany. So the doctor talked to his next-door neighbor, and the next-door neighbor had somebody that he knew in Germany. So he contacted the guy in Germany, and da-da-da-da, and now the guy who, or Jeff Olson, started asking other people, do you know anyone who is from Germany? And by totally changing his plan, the doctor found somebody in Germany, and Jeff found somebody else who had a friend who had somebody in Germany. And between the two of them, they created the largest network marketing business ever in Europe through those two contacts in Germany. And he said, now, my plan, what was my plan? My plan was to set up a booth at a health fair. That's how we started. Now, if you don't start, you can see his plan had absolutely nothing to do with the phenomenal success he gained. It had to do everything with the company opening Germany. But he had to start somewhere, and that's how he started. So you have this incredible aspect about getting off your duff and starting, building a plan, setting something in motion, and watching the motion carry you forward. And if you have the book, Slight Edge, I'm just going to tell you to go in that book and read the quote on page 139. It's from W.H. Murray. And I don't have time because I want to get ready for Dr. Sinnott to come on the call, but it's just an incredible thing. It really gets to the concept of being committed. And for those of you in my pathway class, it's the same W.H. Murray quote that I have in the pathway materials. But it's just an incredible quote about, you know, just being committed. And it takes initiation. You got to move. You got to take action. You got to get committed and take action, and that's what results in the incredible direction towards success. His quote, the other quote he put in this paragraph, in this whole thing, I just would suggest that you read it because it really is that Murray quote is the best one. It really talks about providence moves. When you move, providence moves with you, and that's how you create momentum and you create an environment of movement all around you, and the forces of the universe take over. And so you got to start taking action, build a plan, take action, and a plan just is a plan of small steps that move you forward in a direction. And over time, again, the penny compounds over time. But you got to take the action to start the penny's action and reaction. Okay? So that's his basic structure on that. Let me get off mute. Great. Okay, you're back. Anyone learn anything from getting after 10? 62. Yeah. That's good. Everybody's got goals? We've got some on here, people, and I'd like you to hit star six. Star six. I got dishes in the background, star six. Thank you. Okay, any other comments about our training today? Because we're about to have Rob. Are you on the phone yet, Rob? Okay, he's not on yet.
2, 1, 4, 7, 3.
Any questions, any comments?
Hard to hear you, Mary Jo.
I'm sorry?
Hard to hear you.
Hard to hear me? Is it because of all the noise in the background?
Yeah.
I need people to
start. A lot of static, Mary Jo.
I'm sorry?
There's a lot of background, somebody in the background. It's really hard to hear.
spiritual.
Did I have people star six?
Interesting. Why would
please.
Rob calls. Quite ready. All right. So.
Okay. When Rob calls in, he's on the moderator line, so we can close off the background noise when he gets on.
Oh, I guess he's going to be late.
Mary Jo, I was on a call one time where the only way somebody could be heard is if they actually on purpose keyed in. Otherwise, everybody was automatically muted. In other words, they didn't have to mute. They were automatically muted unless they automatically keyed in.
Oh, I get it. That's not a bad way
to
do
it. I wish I had that feature for you.
I might do that. Yeah, let me talk to Lydia about that feature. Rob, are you on the call yet? Rob Sinnott.
Yeah, I'm on the call.
Hey, there he is. Great. Good. Thanks for joining us, Rob. This is Mary Jo. We've got a bunch of people on the call. I think there are about 250 people on board with us today. And I guess we're just, last week we talked a little bit about the publication that came out, of course, the news release. And I'm going to ask you, Rob, if you had hit pound on your key. Can you do it or should I do it? Okay. Rob, are you still there? I've muted Rob. Okay,
hello?
Rob, I guess you didn't come in on the moderator call line. Okay, let's have Rob just give us some background. I need people to star six so we get the noise down. Rob, if you could just tell us a little bit about background in terms of the research that was done and what it means for Manatech on what happened at Scripps Center and the getting the award and the GI tract. If you could just give us some background on that, and then there'll probably be some questions.
Yeah, sure, Mary Jo. Manatech presented some original research at the 4th Annual Conference on Nutritional Supplements called An Evidence-Based Approach, and it was held at Scripps Center for Integrated Medicine in La Jolla, California, back in early January. And, it was a poster presentation. There were many poster presentations presented there. It was a competition, basically, where judges from Scripps and from other academic institutions Scripps and from other scientific merit completeness, a bunch of different criteria, and what Manatech was very fortunate that we were able to get the first place prize for original research. And basically what this research did was we were looking at the processing of polysaccharides in the GI tract, specifically polysaccharides like polysaccharides, and also the mixture of polysaccharides that occurs in advanced amyltose. Because there's a lot of researchers out, well, not a lot of researchers, but there's some researchers out there that say that Manatech's products can't possibly work because they're not processed in the GI tract.
Okay. Bob, hang on a second. Could I get people to star six, and if you're on a cell phone, please hang up. We have an echo going on, and you're ruining the call. Star six. There you go. Okay, Rob, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And so basically this was the first of our research effort that we presented publicly. We have an ongoing multi-year research plan to elucidate the mechanisms of action for Manatech's glyconutrient products. We all know that these products work and they have profound effects on the body. But as far as scientific validation of the mechanisms by which they work, there's actually fairly limited information available. And so our goal is to fill the gaps, and this was our first, stringent research effort into showing what the mechanisms of action are for amyltose and showing that the GI tract flora, the bacteria that occur in your GI tract, can actually process these polysaccharides into smaller fragments.
Have you had your breakfast? Bacon and eggs. Hello?
going forward, Rob, what are we looking at? In terms of what this says about the digestive tract, what does that mean for us? Maybe an understanding of why our products work with some of the digestive disease conditions?
Well, it's hard to say at this point what it exactly means for people with specific conditions, but what we're doing is we're doing basic research. You know that the GI tract is very complex, and 75% of the immune system terminates in the GI tract. And so if you can have an impact on the GI tract through the use of glyconutrients, then obviously you're going to impact your immune system body-wide. And so that's what we're looking at, is we're looking at the mechanism of action by which these glyconutrients are triggering responses and modulation within the GI tract. And it's a very complicated process, but we're tackling it piece by piece.
And then the contact to get people going.
Well, Mary Jo, that's you know, taking a leap of faith. We don't know what extent is happening within the stomach and within the GI tract. There may be additional consciousness taking place in the stomach. So I really don't know how to answer a question like that. I mean, but it appears that just using the bacteria that occur within the GI tract, there is some processing of the polysaccharides down into smaller fragments, which we would expect would have a profound effect on the immune system. You know, we'll be able to answer a lot more detailed questions as this research progresses. The abstract of this research is going to be published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine field of science. And what we're doing right now is we're actually working on some subsequent experimentation so that we can actually get this research published in its totality in a top-tier immunological or health sciences journal.
Great.
Okay, it's echoing.
Just for Rob.
Hello. There's an echoing in the call.
I know there's an echo on the call because somebody's on a cell phone or not muting, and I don't control people. I can only ask them to be conscientious about that.
I know, of course, I'm not.
Anyone have a question for Rob Bennett?
Yes, I have a question. Would Dr. Sennett, you speak to whether or not advanced amyloidosis or classic amyloidosis are type 1?
I'm sorry, I missed that. There's a lot of sound on this call.
Yeah.
My question is, you please speak to whether amyloidosis or advanced amyloidosis are preferable for diabetic, especially considering type 1 diabetes.
You know what? I have no information on that. There's no reason to suspect that they would behave any differently from each other. I mean, they're basically the same composition. The allosaurus is different. But as far as functioning in somebody, in anybody, they should be pretty much equivalent.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just wanted to say a big thank you to Dr. Sennett for leading our team and guiding the Phytomatrix and the new things we're looking at. We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm pleased to be doing it. It's good to be part of this team. It's good to be, you know, friends and to work for somebody as high integrity as Sam Castor. And, you know, I'm just here to serve the associates.
Rob, I heard one. I have a question about the phytomatrix now that was brought up. I heard one person tell me about an allergic response to phytomatrix. Is there a possibility for that, or what do you suspect might be going on when that happens?
I have no idea, Mary Jo. I'd have to. That would have to be studied in great detail. Obviously,
yeah,
we know it's a multi-component and great product. Yeah, I don't have any information on that, Mary Jo.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for your time, and I'll speak with you soon.
Thank you for being on board with us. Appreciate it, Dr. Goddard.
Have another question. Is there?
Okay. Are you still here?
Rob? Dr. Ron?
I think he lost you.
I was going to ask about GI Pulse. It was okay to take early in the morning.
I can't even. My other voice is so bad.
Oh, boy.
Mary Jo, thank you for all your attempts today.
So. Sorry. Go ahead again. Let me see if I can get you. Go ahead.
I was wondering if GI Pro could take in the morning, first thing in the morning, as opposed to lasting it.
If GI Pro taken first thing in the morning. What?
Instead of lasting it at night.
Would it make a difference? I don't know. That's a good question. I would probably send that question to Jan Bishop at Manatech.com. Jay Bishop at Manatech.com. He's in charge of product issues, and see if you get a response there. Okay?
Thank you.
And my other question was on GI Zyme.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if there was time. Like, should you take it within a half hour of eating before? Or half hour after, or do you have to take right away when you eat?
The GI Zyme should be taken 15 minutes before meals.
15?
Yep.
15 before?
Before.
Oh. Not during the meal.
No, before the meal. That's the recommendation.
Wow. That's new. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, was that email? Did you say Jan Bishop?
When you send any information to Manatech people, always put their first initial and their last name. So it'd be J. Bishop.
J. Bishop. At Manatech.com.
Correct.
Lovely. Thank you.
That. Anyway, people, we have such a bad echo, and I feel so badly that we have that problem. Dr. Sinnott was supposed to come in on the moderator call, but apparently did not, so we couldn't isolate that. But it was good to have him, good to hear from him. He's a great man. We want to always keep him, you know, in our prayers and thoughts, because he is such a blessing to this company, and what a pleasure to have him on board. Okay, people, have a great week, and I will talk to you next Monday.
The moderator is disconnected.